Avril Lavigne is the young Canadian singer-songwriter who at age 17 released a debut album, Let Go, that went on to become one of the best-selling CDs of the new century, with 13-plus million copies and counting. Now, at the mature age of 22, Avril is not only still releasing platinum-selling songs, she's also doing a great deal of work in cinema. She was the voice talent in Over the Hedge, she appeared in Fast Food Nation, and she's now recorded a song for the new fantasy film, Aragon. She's on the phone with us now. Avril Lavigne, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Wow, you have done it all and are still doing more. I mean, you're on the cover of magazines, you are, you're turning into, and by the way, I saw this, are you one of the top 10 Canadian influential people in Hollywood on one of these lists in Canada?
Wow, that's great.
Did you know that?
No, I did not.
You can't keep track of all your awards. That's a tough problem to have.
I need people like you to let me know.
All right. So Avril, are you loving every minute of it? Are you consumed with a passion for work?
I love it. It's so much fun. I love I love music. I love writing. I love performing. And like you said, just recently in this past year, I have worked on a couple movies, one being Fast Food Nation, Over the Hedge, and I look forward to doing some more acting in my future. And currently, I just wrote the song Keep Holding On for the movie Aragon, and it's a really great film, and I just want to talk about that.
Let me ask you a question. I'm a big, huge Lord of the Rings fan. Is Aragon a must-see movie for me?
Yeah, definitely. Because some people say it's like that kind of a movie, you know.
Dragons and heroes.
Fantasy movie. Mm-hmm. And it's about this young boy named Aragorn, and he becomes a dragon rider, and he's destined to be this dragon rider, and you know, it's very adventurous, and
big special effects?
Yeah,
you have to. You can't have like people in a dragon suit anymore because it just won't fly.
This used to be a book, and it was written by like a 15-year-old.
Wow,
so that's amazing.
Another amazing child. I don't want to say child because it's probably not. but you know, your career began at the age of 2 when you started singing.
My mom said she knew I was going to be a singer when I was 2 years old, but technically, I guess I got my record deal when I was like 15, 16, going on 16. And my first record came out when I was 17. And
Avril, did you know at that age that this is definitely your life?
I didn't think, I'm going to be famous one day and really big singer. I didn't think that. I just thought, I just knew. Like, it was, when I look back to my childhood, I was always thinking about singing in front of really big crowds. And I was, like, always visualizing, like, you know, people knowing who I was, and like, and it was just, it was so beautiful because it just happened so naturally to me when I was young, and it was like, you know, it was meant to be. This was my purpose.
You ever think that you feel that's your purpose? I was going to say, do you ever feel like you're missing anything? Normal life, just sitting around in pajamas, not having to worry about it.
I'm the most normal person in this world. I mean, I didn't miss out on my childhood. You know, I grew up with, like, you know, 3 kids, my parents. And, you know, up until I said, like, I was, like, 16, started this career. So, and you know, like, I've learned so much in this life, and I feel so lucky.
There's some bad examples out there. I mean, some of these, some of your compatriots need lessons on how to step in and out of a limo without getting a bad camera picture of them. You keep your head on straight. You keep everything going smoothly.
Those girls are crazy.
Yeah. All right, Joe?
I was wondering about the movie Aragon, Avril. I have a 7-year-old who, by the way, is a huge fan of your music. Is it okay for a 7-year-old to see this? Are the dragons doing much, eating people?
Absolutely. This is a great family film.
Uh-huh.
It's great for everybody.
Avril, now, you still have a lot to do in your life. You're turning into a mogul. Do you want to come out with a line of products or anything? Do you want to keep it going, or are you satisfied with all the stuff you're doing now?
Well, between the music and the acting, and maybe I would do, you know, I'd like to do a clothing line. I think that'd be really fun. I'd do, like, really cool, like, rock outfits and stuff. But, so So it might be something like that, yeah.
Avril, I used to work at our sister station, Kiss, and we interviewed you several times when your first album came out. Huge fan, by the way. But you sound so much different now, like in person, talking on the phone. You sound so euphoric. What's changed for you?
Well, I'm 22 right now, and I was probably 17 when you spoke to me
before.
Right.
So. A little angry. I don't know if
did she sound angry?
A little angry,
was
yeah.
It was tough. It was everything coming at you at once, right?
Yeah, I felt like you had a lot on your shoulders.
17, and everything was nuts in my life. So in my last interview, they were asking me about that. They're like, you're so young. We've got to see you grow up, and it's true. Like, I feel like half of my life I've grown up in the public eye, and I was such a young 17-year-old, too, being from a small town, and then all of a sudden my record blew up right away on my first single and had, like, a million interviews, and it was so weird to me. You know, it was hard sometimes because, like, you know, people would judge you and pick, you know, be mean and stuff like that, so I had a guard up, but, you know, I'm older and I understand it all now. And
yeah, she's a ripe old age of 22. Yes, Spike.
Hey, Avril,
oh my God.
Yeah.
22 going on 30.
Avril, my teenage daughter, and she's a huge fan. And I've seen you live, and you were great live. But she, you know, totally took up your look. She had the huge pants and lots of eye makeup. And I kept asking her to wash her face. But when you changed your look, she changed her look, too. So thank you
very much.
Thank you very much.
We'd like you to change it again. could you put on a nun costume?
No.
So, Avril, when you walk through an airport and you see your face on the cover of a row of magazines stacked up in one of those airport bookshops, do you walk right by or do you stop and look?
I collect, like, all the covers that I'm on. So if I don't have it, I'll grab it. Usually they send me it, but oh my gosh, I have so many magazines like that I'm on and stuff. It's really exciting for me, and it's exciting to hear myself on the radio too. Like the other day, I heard "Keep Holding On," the new single, on the radio, and I was like, woo! And I turned it. I was with Evan. I don't know if you remember him, my old guitar player.
Oh yeah, he's an old friend.
It's in his car. I'm like, woo! And he hasn't cranked it up.
Well, it must freak the people out a little bit in the airport if you go up there. You see when you're not on, you go up there to buy it. Do they do a double take when you're buying the magazine you're on the cover of?
I don't think,
they maybe recognize you?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. I usually have them, but, yeah.
Hey, Avril, you now are at the point where they're asking you to write for a movie. Is it hard for you to sit down and write a song, you know, when they've given you, all right, here's the movie you have to write for it?
It was a bit of a challenge because, well, I'm so excited that they came to me. Fox came to me about this, and they played me a trailer about 30 seconds and talked about what they wanted. So writing it, like, about this boy, Aragorn, and the dragon was kind of...
Did they show you pictures to write to and put you in the mood?
What's that? Not really. I mean... Yeah. I had to write it about their relationship, but it's not a romantic relationship. They're destined to be together. He's destined to be a dragon rider, and they have to fight together, and they can't, you know, the dragon can't live without him. And so that's how I created Keep Holding On. And when I watched the movie at screening the other day and heard the song at the end of it, it worked perfectly, and it worked out great, and I was really happy with the results. And the movie, it's awesome. I loved it. I was really surprised. Like, when I saw the whole thing, I was like, wow. Because, you know, movies these days aren't always the best, but Aragorn was a really good film, and I think a lot of people will really enjoy it, definitely all ages.
Avril Lavigne in Los Angeles. Avril, you're very, very talented, very, very blessed. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Happy pills.
What?
I am not kidding you.
Holy happy pills, Batman.
I am not kidding you.
Is she on medication?
She is one of the best singer, you know, young singer-songwriters.
Hey, and she keeps her clothes on and her head on straight,
too. She does, but I'm not kidding you. When she was first coming out, and we would dread having to interview her because it was like pulling teeth. She wouldn't answer your questions. She'd look at you like you were a moron.
She did do one thing on this show, which we had to bleep out.
Yeah.
Which was amazing. We were starting to ask her, in a veiled, very nice way, you know, at least some of those other compatriots.
Thanks for keeping your drawers on, Avril.
Some of those compatriots, when they step in and out of limos, they need to learn how to not have their picture taken. And she said, they are blanking crazy.
Yeah.
She said something you could only say on the radio in Canada.
Maybe that's
still have a job.
She's Canadian. That's
yes,
why she
is.
Did it, didn't she? Yeah. Okay. Because the satellite people in the room she was in freaked out.
Oh.
Eric went, what? And he hit the bleeper because we have to.
Well, there's no bigger job killer than that one. I mean, that one right there, that's
yeah.
the big fun.
Yeah, we're never going to let Bono on for that same reason.
Yeah.
But she thought it was... She thought nothing of it. Oh, yes, I'm innocent. They're blanking crazy. And she's very pretty, by the way. I've never seen I don't look at magazines or any of that. But
she, honestly, the fact that you can see her face now is a miracle. Yeah. She used to hang her hair in front of her face, cover her eye. I mean, she was
sort of recluse.
Yeah, and now she's married. Punk. She fell in love. She grew up and she fell in love, and ever since then, she's
can only
bright
hope.
Blonde. And
good.
So, Avril Lavigne, 22 years old, now feeling like an old journeywoman. Yeah. 22 going on 30, just to make sure we know she's really mature.
Right.
So, congratulations to her. There's something that every single one of us is doing right now. And a new report by the U.S. Census Bureau estimates that in the upcoming year, the average American will spend 3,500 hours doing this. You're doing it right now. Can you guess what it is? Amy.
I'm going to go with standing.
Standing, 3,500 hours. That would be standing for 10 hours a day.
That's a pretty safe bet.
Is it?
I'd venture to guess you're on your feet.
Not a shot.
10 hours. You're on your feet 10 hours a day?
10 hours a day.
I'm on my feet now.
What do you do for a living?
I work at a pet store.
Well, then you maybe do stand. Joe likes to stand at work.
I stand for a guaranteed 4 hours here, so I may do it.
Show me Amy standing. But that's not it. Sorry, Amy. Jamie, the average American will do this 10 hours a day next year. What is it?
10 hours a day?
10 hours a day. Almost 10.
My guess was driving.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the answer.
Well, in the Puget Sound region, especially on 405 at the I-90 merge, I think that's a good shot. But no, that's not the answer.
Because I'm doing it right now, so that's kind of why I thought maybe that was the answer.
Sure, and there's a guy in line five who's picking his nose. I know, we're going to get to all of you. Thank you, Jamie.
Harvesting goblins, Bob? Stretching your brain?
It's true, you are doing it right now. Jay, what is it?
Listen to the radio.
Listening to the radio. You mean you think that next year you're going to listen to the radio for 10 hours a day?
Dude! We live in Seattle. I'm in my van 10 hours a day.
All right. I'll tell you what. That's not... It's sort of the right line of thinking, but that's not the right answer. However, if you're going to listen to the radio 10 hours a day, I'm going to give you some Fandango bucks.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm giving it to you. It's not coming away from the other winner. This is my personal stash as a sort of a thank you. Anyone who listens to the radio 10 hours a day, come up to me. In private, I'll give you something.
Something.
Even if it's just a little rub.
We're
going to
hold you to it.
As long as the rub's in the right place.
That'll keep them from coming up to me. All right, hang on. No, that's not the answer. However, you are doing it right now.
Wow.
Tracy, 10 hours a day the average American will do this. What do you think it is?
Hello?
Yes?
I think it's work.
You think it's work? Thankfully, it is not work. Americans used to be into hard work. Now, a lot of us are stuck doing overtime, but most of us, nah.
It's 3,500 hours a year, and if you take into effect the weekends and the national holidays, that'd be a 12-hour day every time you work.
So it's not that. What do you do for a living, Tracy?
I work at a bank.
All right. Is there anything else you're doing right now?
I'm driving to work.
You're driving. You're going to work. You're going to do this for 10 hours a day. What is it you think that an average person might do for 10 hours a day?
It's not quite 10 hours, but it's...
Close.
Yeah, yeah, over
very
nine.
Close. Nine and something.
Yeah.
Sleep?
Oh, I wish.
Oh, yeah, man.
That would be nice. Yeah.
You're talking dirty to me now.
That statistic is going down. Thank you, Tracy.
We all get all...
Rick, what do you think it is?
Well, gambling, I think.
Gambling?
10 hours a day?
No one could gamble that long because it's stacked against you. You'll lose everything.
You make it through March and you're busted.
Yeah, sorry. No, it's not
gambling. He can sit there, that pull tab thing all day.
Scott, what do you think it is?
I think it's surf the internet.
for 10 hours a day? How could you live?
I don't know. I think that maybe some people have work where they're on the internet, and then possibly come home and use it.
All right. You're thinking correct, but you don't have the right answer.
Oh.
You're doing it right now.
What you do have is a strong right arm.
Mac, what do you think it is? 10 hours a day. You're doing it right now, Mac. What is it?
I think it's what you guys are paid to do. Talk.
Talking. Will we talk for 10 hours? That's a great guess. Will we talk for 10 hours a day? No, but that's a fantastic guess.
Darn.
Some women talk for 30 hours a day.
That way Joe can balance it out on the other side. You don't talk much after you leave here, right?
You're
sort of mosey.
I have an economy with my words. Nobody really wants to talk to me. It's funny. My phone can ring 20 times, and maybe once it'll be for me at home. My girls do most of the talking.
Okay. No one has the right answer, Mike. Think about it, people. You're doing it right now. It's not as simple as just listening to the radio. It's an entire category. Radio is part of it, okay? Oh. I'm sick of this. Give it away.
And it's the Census Bureau who are putting out these statistics. And the amount that has gone way up.
Rich is so close that I wish he had the right answer. He doesn't.
He's swearing at your radio.
He's thinking right, okay. And he has the right idea. But now other people had it too narrow. He's not narrow enough. Mike, so he's not the correct
guy. It's kind of one magic word we're looking for here, I would say.
Some people think it's a bad word.
Yeah.
I don't know. No one's got it. Mike, just tell them no. Cindy, what do you think it is?
Blinking?
Blinking. You're going to blink for 10 hours straight?
No, but
you're really reaching.
Pardon me?
No, that's all right. I appreciate the effort. That's not it, blinking, no.
We are all doing it right now, though. You're right about that. We probably do that a lot more than 10 hours a day.
Blinking. Yeah, you and I.
If you're awake.
You're constantly blinking, yeah.
We do it for at least 4 that you can watch us doing it.
Oh, the right answer.
Yeah, the right answer. And then we do it all day, pretty much.
I'm sure I'm at least on average or higher.
Thank you. With lots of clues, Randy figured it out. Randy, what is it?
Media intake, combination of radio, TV, and computer.
Internet, phones, media consumption.
Yikes.
Media consumption will reach 10 hours a day, almost.
Jeez, that's scary.
That's reading as well.
Reading is a very small part.
Well, 8 minutes you do there, that really adds up.
And you know what? Far too much of it is. Far too much of it, in my regard.
Is what?
Television.
Television. We need to kill television.
A lot of people
keep radio strong.
Yeah, a lot of people sitting there in front of that thing.
It's a waste of time, television.
Most of it is.
Radio, at least your mind is making pictures. Give your mind something to do. Listen to us.
Now, when we had just the radio and no television, did people look at radio the same way? Get out from in front of that radio.
No, radio's always been a wholesome family entertainment.
Right.
Until just a few years ago, and then the FCC overreact to it all. That's the correct answer, Randy. We've got $50 worth of Fandango bucks for you.
Great, thank you.
Hang on. Now, is that too much media consumption?
Well, it is. I think it is.
You think, what has to go? It's not us.
Well,
I love the fact that people are getting hooked more and more on media. It's how we make our living. Yeah. I love the fact that traffic is slowing down and the average commute's getting longer, from a selfish point of view.
Yeah.
But from a humanity standpoint, I think that we don't have enough, I hate to put it this way, but quiet time. Unplugged time. I'm not suggesting you have it now. Kick something else out of your life like this.
if you're doing 10 hours a day of media consumption, means you're doing it while you're doing something else as well, probably. Commuting or
having
eaten dinner with a family. So you're not chatting. You're not talking.
And you're not just recharging.
Yeah.
Discharging. Joe discharges a lot, but that's a different, that's a hygiene thing.
Not lately.
You have been better.
You have been much better.
Yeah. Thank
there's
you.
Just so many, so fewer fumes around you. It used to be like Pigpen in the Charlie Brown cartoon.
Well, I hate to say it, but fat and stinky do go together. Yeah. Right? They really do.
You feel much less stinky these days.
I do.
Yeah, good for you. So what should you, how should you curtail, and again, this goes against our own self-interests. How should you curtail your media intake? What should you do? Television is, you know, I have a couple of favorite shows.
Right.
It's fun. I make an appointment. I TiVo them. That's good.
But if you're doing 10 hours a day of media, how many hours a day of that is TV? Five?
No, I don't think so. I don't. I think it's a good question. Is that broken down in the survey?
I've got the survey there.
Let me look.
For you.
The, I'm going to consume some more media right in front of you.
Yeah.
Hope you don't mind while
you
I chew.
Pig!
Printed matter is part of it. There's a lot to work through today. It's
Americans will devote half their lives to some form of media next year. They love it so much that they'll spend nearly half their lives watching TV, going online, listening to the radio, or music, reading. The U.S. Census Bureau is predicting a statistical abstract of the United States 2007... That's the name of the report, that each American in 2000, spent 3,333 hours consuming media, and that it'll go up to 3,500. Is that a 8% rise? Pretty significant rise in just 4 or 5 years. The amount of time that we spend churning butter and making candles has gone way down.
I don't spend near as much time milking.
Right. All that Amish stuff. We just don't do
furniture, very... milking, barn raising.
Although I need to say that knitting actually has enjoyed a renaissance. Young women are getting together in knitting circles and talking to each other. And this is something that we hadn't seen in decades.
I think your wife told you that was a knitting circle, but I think it's one of those love package,
going to a needle exchange.
It's a little vibrator convention they're having. Yeah, come on.
And you know what they're talking about when they're sitting around knitting? They're talking about Oprah. They're talking about Dr. Phil. They're talking about Dancing
Grey's
with
Anatomy.
The Stars.
Right.
Grey's Anatomy.
It's the activity we do more than anything else. Consume media. From Leo Kvijov, Vice President of Research at PQ Media. Well, of course he's going to say that. Realtors always tell you it's a good time to buy a house, too.
I always think about even the healthy things I do for myself. I exercise. I get on the treadmill, but I also turn on the TV. I'm sucking media down even as I'm doing other things.
According to this study, people want to have and almost need a constant connection with either information or entertainment or that crazy buzzword that we're supposedly part of, infotainment. They constantly need it. Is it a drug?
Yes.
You say it's a drug.
I do, because...
You're a pusher. How do you feel about being a pusher?
Damn!
Well, I like to think that we stimulate people to question their own lives. And because...
Question whether you're listening to too much media.
A lot of facts.
Well, sure, but...
A lot of stuff.
If you're always consuming something, whether it's on the treadmill watching television or having to be plugged in, checking your email every 2 minutes... You're not able to be alone with your own thoughts. And I think people don't know how to do that anymore.
That's why I go hiking in the woods without anything, by the way. That's why that's so such a release for me.
How many hours a week do you give that exercise?
Well, I will be giving it more now that I moved out of the city again.
Yeah.
I used to give it 10, 15 hours a week.
A week?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And but at the same time, I'm a media... What's the word?
Whore?
Junkie.
No.
Yeah, junkie's it.
Expert? Connoisseur? Glutton?
There's another word.
Glutton?
Glutton, thank you. Well, I hate to jump up and go, yes, that's me! But yeah.
It is.
And I love media, and I'll give you one of the reasons I love it so much, why I like to consume so much. I don't know if this relates to any of you listening. Growing up, we didn't know what was going on anywhere but in our own little worlds. And I think there's a human curiosity, a human thirst for experience that, much like a drug, stimulates your dopamine or whatever it is, your receptors, what are those called? Listening to us, they could probably measure, you know, not as much as cocaine, but you could measure some, a little boost, a little bump.
Yeah, you actually do get endorphins from that.
Yeah. And
Joe throws out a line, you snort it up there, and you're feeling better about yourself, yeah.
Yeah, it's comedic lines, yeah. But it's the same thing. And one of the reasons I love consuming media is that, to me, life, this time on this planet, it just seems so short that I'm enjoying many experiences, even the ones I'm not having. The whole porn industry is built around that.
It comes to mind.
You know what I'm saying? It's just an experience orgy.
But it's virtual experience. It's not real experience.
Well, and that's why I think you should have enough real experiences so that you don't feel guilty about the time you're spending having all those virtual ones.
And like food, I think there's media that's good and healthy, and I think there's media that's bad. I mean, there's
junk media.
Yeah, there's the chocolate cake.
I don't want to brand that too quickly.
Well, I'm not going to point any
reality
fingers.
Reality TV is junk media.
But there's a lot you can learn from the media, a lot of good educational stuff. And then there's a lot of bad ideas floating around.
Watch
as
much PBS as you do Fox. You'll be a better person if you do.
Tony, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I read a book called Ritalin Nation, and it talks about exactly what you're referring to, that because people consume so much stimulation that it's actually creating an environment of people who have attention deficit disorder. They can't go without stimulation, and hence...
But see, Tony, here's the thing. Right. You didn't think of this yourself. You consumed it. That's what's ironic. I read a book about that.
There's
I read a book about
pill taking. It comes in this pill.
I read a book about how there's too much OJ coverage. I read a book about how we're consuming too much media. Do you know what I'm saying? Man. It's kind of freaky.
The downtime is important, and you mentioned that, like with hiking, and that was a good suggestion. Like in or meditating, or listening to. I mean, you can read things that are actually helpful versus just, you know, the garbage that people. Or getting on the internet can be stimulating for.
This is downtime is consuming other media. You see what I'm saying?
Show that makes you laugh.
I hate to admit it. It's my downtime too. When I finally get time, it's like, oh, well, I'll watch an episode of Lost because I consume a lot of media for work. And then when I've got a little time, it's like, oh, I'll watch.
Consume pleasure media.
Exactly.
Just pure pleasure.
I'll read a fiction book for a change.
Tony,
it's all about finding balance, but we do create an environment that overstimulates us. And then we, like, I think it was Eric who said, we have a lot of difficulty having quiet time, being with our own thoughts, because it's kind of scary for a lot of people to not have something to distract them.
We're boring when we get inside our own heads.
Well, we're only boring because we see so many shows and we can't live up to the great writing that they have.
That's the thing with the porn industry, is that it creates an environment that is... It's not real, and nobody's sex life will ever live up to the porn industry.
But we can work harder.
Yes, we can.
You know, honey, this would be better if you'd brought a pizza when you came in. I'd be more excited right now.
Thank you, Tony.
By the way, I need to say that when you're talking about being with your own thoughts, at first, yes, it will be boring. Same with meditation. Trying to clear everything out of the way seems like there's nothing, and then you get bored. But if you just wait a few minutes... With that nothingness, then all of a sudden this stuff starts popping into your head.
Yeah.
And that's when you start experiencing creativity, and that's when it gets fun.
But Eric, you and I, you can meditate, I can go into the woods, but I severely think it's a capacity that most human beings have lost. I think that we are
out of our youth.
We and a lot of us are afraid of being alone with our thoughts. And for that, we'll leave you with some wonderful messages from some of our sponsors.
Cute little capsules of thought.
And you can sit there and muse on that. We'll be right back. Jay Leno calls our next guest the funniest guy in Hollywood. And the high praise is a result of his many scene-stealing roles in movies like A Mighty Wind, Best in Show, Waiting for Guffman, This is Spinal Tap, and most recently, another Christopher Guest film, For Your Consideration. On television, you've seen Fred Willard, Roseanne, Everybody Loves Raymond, Fernwood Tonight, as well as The Tonight Show. Oh yeah, he's been on The Tonight Show over 80 times. Fred Willard, welcome back to the Bob Rivers Show. How you doing?
Oh, thanks. Nice to be back.
It's good to have you. You're just a class. You're just great. You're fantastic in everything you do.
Oh, thanks, Joe. Thanks so much.
Except for showing up for our interview last time.
Yeah, well, that was not my fault. That was set up. It was canceled. It went all through the thing because... We had to go to Vegas to appear on
the comedy show, that comedy for Katrina.
Oh, the thing with Don Rickles and Whoopi and Rob Williams.
Yep,
the
Robin,
bit.
Billy, yeah, we were there. And so someone didn't get to you, pay you the courtesy of saying they're not going to do it, we'll do it another time. But
well, FEMA was supposed to bring us that information.
FEMA was here a week afterwards, and they said,
well, what does it matter? The people at Warner Brothers, maybe the person I told...
Fred, it don't matter. You're a regular guest, and you're a decent guy. Now, 80 times on the Jay Leno show, are you even surprised? Are there stains on that couch you recognize because you put them there?
Oh, but off the air, yes. I don't know what goes on over at that show. But people don't get confused. About 78 of them have been as a sketch thing. You know, early in the show, he says, we have an interview with Michael Jackson's manager. We go by satellite now to, and that's me playing a character. And twice I've been on to come out like a normal person and sit on the panel and talk to him.
You're so humble.
I've known Jay for years. He claims that he came backstage where I was performing once and asked for my autograph when he was just starting out.
Wow.
But he's a great guy. He's just what you'd imagine him to be.
I thought you would be younger than him. You're very well preserved.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jay, yeah. He gets all that money, and it leads to drugs and booze.
Sure, that's where he's gone with it.
Cars, same woman.
Now, the movie For Your Consideration is it's an interesting premise. It's there's I guess two kinds of movie scenes in Hollywood. There's the independent film scene, and then there's the big blockbusters where they blow up planets and they pay actors $20 million. This is sort of when those worlds collide. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and this one, a couple of the actors on this independent movie, here there's some buzz they might get an Academy Award, and it shows how they change, how their lives change, and building up to the big announcement. I'm a clueless talk show host from a show like Entertainment. It's called Entertainment Now, but it's like Access Hollywood or Entertainment Tonight. And I interview them, and I follow their chase for the Oscar, and a very touching scene at the end when I talk to them, and it's just funny. It's pretty clean.
Pretty clean.
You can take mom, you can take the kids, and
nice.
Everyone understands Hollywood and how it works now, so everyone will enjoy it.
All right, Fred Willard. And Fred, it must be incredibly easy to study up to be a clueless talk show host, right?
Yes,
that's the easiest role in the world.
But I don't have a clue as to how to study for it.
The Golden Globe Award nominations were announced, and For Your Consideration is not mentioned. Do you think they said, no matter how good and how funny a movie is, if you make a movie about award shows, we are going to ignore you?
I don't know if they did. I'd hate to think that they'd be that petty. But I guess there's a lot of movies out there. You don't realize how many movies come out. And I was open a little late in the year. But then maybe, you know, and it's... It isn't really making fun of the awards or the show. It's making fun of the people and how they react to the awards. In fact, I had to talk to the head of the motion picture, the president of the Motion Picture Academy, and I'm not just dropping names. I'm going to do something for him for the Academy Awards. And he hadn't seen it, and I said, you know, we're not making fun of the Academy the Awards. It's how the actors and how they, some of them, it goes to their heads, and others... try to poo-poo it, and it's the different ways they deal with it.
Yeah, you're supposed to poo-poo it. You're supposed to say, well, I don't do it for the awards.
In the movie, too. We don't, it's not about the awards.
Yeah.
Then at home, they're, going crazy.
Making love to it.
Fred,
getting facelifts and...
Fred, I wouldn't have thought this, but Mike dug this up. You went to college at a military institute.
Virginia Military Institute.
Yeah, were you planning to go into the military?
No, absolutely not. It's a long story how I got there. Okay, I got to play sports a lot at the school, and so I was apart from all that military training, and it was very different. It was the kind of education you wouldn't, they would say, I wouldn't trade it for $1 million, but I wouldn't do it again for $1 million.
Good.
So, it was like West Point of the South. And I like to, I wrote back recently to the Alumni Journal that, where are they now? What are they doing? And everyone's an Air Force general or a colonel or doing something. I'd like to write back and say Fred Willard's heavily into choreography and dance. Just drive him crazy. And, but I will say, I got to salute him. I see also that Captain So-and-so, class of 03, is now serving in Iraq. And, you know, they're backing up their... They were just weren't just good old Southern boys who wanted to wear a uniform. They're going over to Iraq and doing our fighting for us. So I was really the outsider there.
Fred Willard in Los Angeles. Fred, you recently were a guest critic with Roger Ebert.
Well, that was tough being an actor. Yeah. You know, to go on and criticize other movies.
Uh-huh.
I had one opinion, but what I try to find is something good to say about everything. If I didn't like the movie, I stressed the acting in it, and the only movies we agreed on that we really liked were Jackass 2.
Brilliant acting.
That's good.
Yeah, and what was it? There was Flyboys, which was Richard Roper says, why didn't they just call it War Movie? But I had to say, you know, there were a lot of great scenes. The combat scenes were good. We also liked Jet Li's Fearless.
Right.
And I didn't know those... kung fu movies were so well done now. They're really good stories, and I was very pleased with that.
They've actually synced up the subtitles and the dialogue now.
They've done more than that, yeah.
Fred Willard in Los Angeles, the movie For Your Consideration is now playing. Nice chatting with you, Fred. Thanks.
It's a pleasure.
Today there's an article about things that Americans have become very attached to. Things that in the past were luxuries and now have become necessities, based on a survey.
Yeah, I think they took 14 different items and they said to people, would you consider this a necessity or a luxury? And they do this every 10 years or so, I think.
And things have changed considerably.
Yes, they have since 96.
The iPod, which wouldn't have even existed 10 years ago, has become a necessity for 3% of people.
I don't mean to laugh, but there are some people who got it real good.
Yeah, 3%. It's a necessity. I could not imagine living without it. 88% say, no, it's a luxury.
Yeah.
25% have it. So 25% of all people, which means that...
Yeah, that's great.
Still room for Apple stock to grow, I guess. And now let's get to other things like a car. What percent of people would you say think a car is a necessity?
I kind of agree with that.
It's a necessity for me.
What percentage, though?
Ooh,
some people think a car is a luxury.
I bet 2/3 of Americans think it's a necessity.
More than that, 91%.
Wow.
8% say, well, it's a luxury. Percentage who own it, 92. So the 8% who don't own a car say, it's a luxury for me.
Yeah.
The math actually adds up pretty evenly on this survey.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have something, it's a luxury.
Yeah.
How about a microwave? What percentage of people would say it's a luxury? 31%.
Yeah, I kind of agree that's a necessity, or a luxury more than a necessity.
You think a microwave's a luxury?
Yeah, because you can get along without it.
And they said on the microwave there was a huge difference in what men and women felt. Men feel microwave is a necessity. Women see it as a luxury, which is unusual, because the women, they know you could cook with the stove, but...
Men don't.
The men who responded, it's like, hey, I gotta have a
microwave.
How about an air conditioner? 70% say it's a necessity. We're in the Pacific Northwest, so that wouldn't be the case here. But 85% have air conditioners in this country. 29% say it's a luxury.
And the no-duh statistic they want to point out on that one is, where we called where it was hotter, they tended to think it was
yeah.
a necessity.
Up there in Great Falls, Minnesota, not so much.
All right. Dishwasher? Luxury or necessity?
Luxury, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have one?
I have one, but it's a luxury. I've lived without one, and once you live without one, you'll never go back. It's hard. It's really hard.
The stats on that are pretty interesting. 63% of people think it's a luxury to have a dishwasher.
First thing my wife did last night, I said, honey, I think the power is going to go out. I think I'll take a shower. She goes, oh, I got to run the dishwasher. She ran to turn that baby on.
My wife does not like the dishwasher. What? She prefers to wash dishes by hand. And when she puts stuff in the dishwasher, because she's cheap, she runs it so rarely but that by the time she runs it, that food has stuck like plaque to your teeth.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I'll be eating something and I'll go, is that a Cheerio or a fossil?
Melissa hates glasses that come through the dishwasher.
Surprisingly with dishwashers, 63% think it's a luxury. And that's the same number who have it. 35% think it's a necessity. It's kind of a lopsided.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. On a flat screen TV basis, 5% say necessity.
Come on.
Wow.
What's the argument for that?
I can't watch a bulbous TV. It won't fit with my decor.
And you're right. It's the people that make over $100,000 a year that tend to say...
I must have a flat-screen TV.
Yeah, that's...
It's advertising. We're doing our job.
I have my crossover, and I can't have them watch a tube television. I won't get the big promotion.
All right, we promote cable, so a disclaimer here. Obviously, I have a conflict of interest on this one, but cable television... You know, some form of cable, could be satellite, but I'm just going to focus on cable. What percentage of people think it is a luxury? What percentage think it's a necessity? 82% have it, by the way. Only 18% either don't watch TV or get it over the air.
It's going to be a necessity for everyone. You know, the Netherlands this week went all digital, the first country to say, unless you're hooked up to cable or something, you're not getting any TV.
Turned off their transmitters.
Yeah, there's no more over-the-air television in Amsterdam or anywhere.
Over-the-air television is kind of a waste. Using up all that frequency for,
two channels, you're getting it better anyway.
For like 15% of the people.
Yeah.
Make them get cable. Or offer some kind of cable assistance program, a cable exchange program.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. But I mean, why should it be provided free over the air? Is there some reason? Is it a necessity?
Well,
is it a birthright for you to have TV? I was born in the United States, therefore the United States owes me over the air TV. I don't think there's money in it.
Except that when you
it's a money loser. It's a drag on our economy. Let's shut it down.
They could put more into quality programming if they spent less on having to pump that stuff out into the air, probably.
What if you're delivering emergency broadcast messages to families who need to know that there's a Martian invasion, and the only way they get to
that's
know is why
we're
rabbit
here.
Ears, because so we're here.
No, yeah, that's radio.
Do it on the radio.
They won't believe it when we say it.
It's just one of Spike's sketches. That's Spike, man. No, I don't think you could call TV an emergency service. I think you could call 911 an emergency service, you know, dial zero for an operator.
Then put a guy back on the back of the horse saying the British are coming.
Well, nobody believes that we're going to be the way they know that there's a disaster. You're going to look out your window, you're going to see a big flash.
Yeah, stuff starts melting.
There weren't many people getting emergency information from their TV last night, I'll tell you.
In fact, I would say the Internet has penetrated more than television at this point. In terms of if you want to get everybody a message, give it to the same people who are pushing Cialis. It'll get out there. TV, 18% don't need it. Yes, Eric.
I still don't need it.
Hold on, I have to turn you up.
I still don't need it. I'm going now 20 years without television.
Yeah, baloney. You watch it here.
In Eric's world, Gunsmoke is still on.
Yeah, but he watches it here. He creates an atmosphere at home with no television, right. Which your wife has been begging for. She's been begging for it.
Actually, she stopped begging for it because of YouTube, because of entire seasons on DVD now.
She can watch what she wants. She doesn't need it over the air or in cable.
Well, it's not fair to say you don't watch television if you're watching DVD
series. That is on it. When you watch it on a what? On a toaster?
Yeah.
Well, on a 15-inch flat screen computer.
Everybody kind of glows orangey-like. It's neat.
Yeah.
Okay. What a flat screen. Thank you.
Oh, LCD. Okay, fine.
All right. Clothes washer. Is it a necessity or a luxury? 82% have it. 90% say it's a necessity.
Yeah.
9% say a clothes washer is a luxury. In other words, these are the people that go to the laundromat.
And more people say the washer is a necessity than the dryer because you can
hang stuff.
Exactly.
Lisa likes to do that too. I'm surprised now that we've moved back. Oh, shoot! I shouldn't even say it. I'm surprised she hasn't installed a clothesline.
Clothesline?
Oh, yeah.
Remember those big round trees?
She had one at the last place.
Yeah.
Big, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing like clothes.
Rug-burned clothes hanging on the line for all to see as they drive.
I didn't get any marks out there, boss. Sorry.
Fortunately, I think we have some covenants where we are now. She might not be able to do it. I'll bet there is.
Man, there's nothing like the smell of sheets that have been hanging in a breeze. Nothing like them. That is some sweet stuff.
It's better than the dryer?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Does your wife hang clothes outside?
Like that.
Hell no. My wife?
She doesn't do a clothes, yeah.
Consuelo does all that work for my
wife.
Right.
Joining us in the studio this morning is Brianna Paletta and Kevin O'Loughlin, better known as Rye Hollow. They're a Portland band starting to get attention and airplay from coast to coast, part of a project that has become a real Northwest tradition. The album is Christmas in the Northwest, produced by Steve Lawson. Christmas in the Northwest 9 is now available and features, along with Rye Hollow, contributions from Kenny G, The Coats, we like those guys, Michael Powers, and a dozen other Northwest artists. And Steve Lawson was one of the first people we met in 1989, helped us work out with his with some Twisted Tunes Lawson Studios. I remember.
Absolutely.
I beat you up for the cheapest rate I could possibly.
That's right.
And
I'm still paying that loan off, actually.
Yeah, how did that recording studio business work out for you? Obviously, you're a tycoon now.
Well,
right?
I sold it in 1999, yeah.
You did?
Yeah. So.
And what do you do today?
Well, I've got, I do voiceover work for radio and TV. I've got a little home studio with an ISDN
connection. That's the thing.
And
you were, like, building this huge studio at a time when everything was getting smaller.
Absolutely.
And smaller.
Yeah.
It was like if you were IBM saying computers need to take up 6 acres.
That's right. Yeah, instead of a console that cost $500,000, I think, when I went and bought the new one for the home studio, it was like, how inexpensive can I find one for? And I think it was $129.
That's amazing. All right, Steve, one of the great
Microsoft to get it for half.
One of the music and the broadcasting greats of our region, Steve Lawson, who puts this together for charity. All of the proceeds of this go to who?
Go to Children's Hospital Regional Medical Center here in Seattle.
And I've heard now a couple of them. They are amazing. We'll give you a little taste and welcome these guys to Seattle. How are you guys doing? Okay, let me see if I got the...
Let's get this right.
Let's see if I get your mic going. Okay, Brianna, you there?
I am.
All right, works perfectly. And Brianna and Kevin are here today. Kevin?
Hello.
Are you Irish?
Just a tad.
Just a tad, like Spike is. O'Neill O'Loughlin.
Nice to meet you, mate.
Let's hear a little something. You going to play your Christmas song for us?
Yeah.
All right, what's it called?
This is called I Saw Three Ships.
I Saw Three Ships.
Christmas Day in the morning, and all the bells on earth
Christmas Day, on Christmas Day, all the angels in heaven shall sing, on Christmas Day, the morning, Christmas Day in the morning.
Woo!
Man.
Thank you.
Wow.
Much.
Yeah, very good. Your voice is like butter.
Oh,
amazing.
Well, thanks.
You do any death metal?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Don't start.
But you could. Do we have time for? Do you have a real short song? Maybe one of your original songs. So we give people a taste of your album.
Yeah.
This band is Rye Hollow. This is two out of their four members. Their new CD is called Hearts Like These. We'll put a link up on our website to both of these at bobrivers.com.
And the heights, you declared your love to me boldly. And you were so beautiful, I'm giving back the dreams you stole me.
Dry Hollow. A wonderful way to enter the Christmas holiday. Have a great Christmas, everybody. Good
Same
luck to you guys.
You.
Thank you very much. Casey went out K-walking the other day, and this is an interesting trip. I love what you're doing with this. You're putting people in a sort of a strange, uncomfortable position with your question to see how they react.
Yes. Basically, the segment was called Obama or Osama.
And now you're asking people which one they would want to be president or just...
I was testing my theory that if you say Obama, they immediately assume you're talking about Osama and that it might affect how people vote.
So...
Basically, proving that some people don't know and don't, they get the name so confused.
Some people don't know the difference?
Yeah, they don't really know the difference between the names because they haven't really thought about it.
This could be a problem for Osama out there in the hills. People think he's a black man from the Midwest.
They won't vote for him.
So he's got a lot to overcome before he runs. Isn't his middle name Hussein? Too?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Obama Hussein. Yeah. Would you vote for a guy named Obama? All right, let's see what people said.
Okay. What do you think about Obama?
Actually, I really don't have any opinion on him at the moment.
Think we'll find him?
No, probably not. I think it's nearly impossible to find somebody, one person in the, out of, you know, billions and billions and billions of people. But
what do you think about Obama?
About what?
Obama. What's that? Obama? Do you know Obama? Barack Obama?
No.
You know what I'm talking about at all?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
Bad people to ask.
What about Osama?
Osama bin Laden.
You know who he is?
Yeah, the terrorist guy.
Do you think a guy with a name that sounds like Osama can win a presidency here?
No.
No. No.
Absolutely not.
Barack Obama?
Yeah.
Do you think he has a chance of being president?
He should wait a little longer, get a little more experience.
Yeah.
He might be assassinated, you know.
Why is that?
Because he's black and he's liberal, and we've tended to shoot down good liberal leaders. He's a good man. He's Kennedy-esque.
Well, we all know how that turned
he's
out.
He's Kennedy-esque, yeah.
That's what I mean.
I'm just asking people what they think about Obama.
What's Obama?
Barack Obama.
What is it? I don't know what it is.
Illinois senator could be running for president.
Oh, I don't know. I never heard of him.
What about Osama?
Osama who?
Osama bin Laden?
Hell no.
Never heard of him.
I don't like him.
Why don't you like him?
I don't like his clothes, his face, and his nothing goes together.
Bad dresser.
I thought maybe there might be another reason you don't like Osama.
I don't know. Why would I have anything against him? I don't like the guy.
Do you think we'll ever catch him?
No, mama.
Obama, no, mama.
Just to recap, Osama.
Oh, mama.
And Obama.
La mama.
Okay. I hope you didn't spend too much time with that guy.
I kept trying to leave.
Say, why are you drinking at Walmart?
I know.
Before we do the news, do you have more of the Osama Obama?
Yeah, I have one last quick segment.
If you missed this earlier, Casey wanted to see whether anybody really even knows who Obama is and whether they would maybe confuse him with Osama. And she went up to random people and asked,
Obama? Osama? Obama? You ever heard of him? That kind of thing. What do you guys think about Obama?
About what?
Obama?
Obama? I'm not from the United States. I don't know their terminology here. Is this a trick question?
It's not a trick question.
I don't want to go on TV and be
I'm not on TV. Barack Obama is potentially running for president. He's the Democratic Illinois senator.
He's young and handsome and good-looking and energetic. And you know because he's good-looking, people notice that.
Yeah. Do you have an opinion about Obama?
Who?
Obama.
What the hell is that?
Barack Obama?
I never heard about that.
What about Osama?
He needs to be put in a cage.
In a cage? And then what?
I don't know. Leave him there?
I'm just asking people what you think about Obama.
Oh, he seems to be a nice, classy young man.
Do you think he has a chance at presidency?
That's a hard one. I still don't know if America's ready yet.
What about Hillary Clinton?
That's another tough one.
If you had to choose between the two, who would you pick?
Right now, I'm leaning toward Obama. He's young, he's vital. Huh? And Clinton, as much, she's pretty good, but they keep on bringing up her past and her husband.
You think she should have left him?
No.
No?
No, don't let stand by your man.
Even if your man cheats on you?
Give another chance.
How many chances should you give a guy?
That's a hard question.
How many chances have you been given?
Well, I've only been caught once. And it almost got me killed. But women have a way of finding out stuff no matter what.
You're damn right we do.
I wouldn't advise cheating on your loved one. Because women can find out stuff. I don't care how. You find out stuff.
We have a whole network, you know.
Yes, spy network.
That's funny. He wouldn't advise cheating because they're going to find you.
They're going to find you.
Yeah.
Sure.
I love to cheat, but I'll get caught.
Women do find out.
You know, the stereotype was interesting. I would walk up to people. You know, you could hear him jingling his change can there. He knew more about Barack Obama than some of the people that you stereotypically would assume watch the news every day.
Yeah, sage advice on love and political insight from a guy who's out there panhandling.
He was panhandling.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought he was a banker.
ring a bell.
You know, I don't try to judge based on, you know, the sound of the coins in the tin.
Oh, really?
I guess when you're sleeping under a newspaper, you read it once in a while. You know what's going on in the world.